Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 471st episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my indubitable co-host. We've got, some may say, Lord Jushiro.
Hello. Ho, ho, hola.
Wow. That was... Okay. I'm going to introduce the next person, but that got me real good. The next person is the battle master himself, Seth Vilo.
Ho, ho. What up, dog?
Jushiro's was way better. I don't even feel
you
bad.
You put me on the spot. I didn't think of anything.
But welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, and we've kept because branding. it's a good time. We talk everything here, Pokemon from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. I'm actually really excited for today's topic.
Me too.
I'm very excited. It's been a while since we've gone back to like those more traditional like Puckle BS topics.
Mm-hmm. And it's a time for BS.
It's like if the three of us were sitting around in a living room and we were just having a discussion, and I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
So it's better than being like, what did you hear about Crown Tundra today? I'm so over talking about Crown Tundra. I think I stopped doing it like 6 weeks ago, but I'm all Crown Tundra'd out.
I just want to clarify that no substance was used for the creation of this topic today.
That's true. It's too early for that. And but yeah, it's been a wonderful time since the last time I played in the Dragon King Cup that I forgot about, but Sigma reminded me within an hour before registration closed, so I signed up for it. It's actually really, it's a fun meta. I wish I would have thought about it and prepped for it more. I just grabbed some team that I liked. I played a couple matches with it and said, yeah, sure, I'll use it.
Uh-huh.
But the meta, it's GS Cup, but BSS.
Hmm.
So it's Battle Stadium singles, and you're allowed one quote-unquote Uber box legend, which is really cool because they're actually semi-balanced in that meta.
Honestly, I feel like the more legendaries they add, the less hard I feel against them. Because before, when they announced that you could use legendaries, to me it was like one of the worst news ever. It's like, really, they're overpowered. But now that we have so many, it's different. It feels different.
It's like GS Cup and VGC where you get two, right? So everybody's only running around with one. So you only have to really worry about a couple big hitters. And if you can counter that, it's fine. Like, I'm running with somebody who's not as popular, Dialga, because I'm always trying to make Dialga good. And
is that your favorite legendary?
I don't know if it's my favorite legendary. I don't know. Like, Gen 4 has a soft spot in my heart forever and always, mostly because that's like what inspired Puckle and like my more online presence in the Pokemon community.
It's what saved my Pokemon fandom too.
So I mean, I really enjoy Gen 4, but I always like Dialga and Palkia aren't the best legends, especially now after 90. I wouldn't say Gen 5 minus Kyurem, but yeah. Gen 6, Gen 7, Gen 8, like all of those Pokemon are all really heavy hitters, like all of the cover legends.
Yeah.
And but I really like trying to make those guys work. Like, I try to make the older guys work before they thought, oh, let's make these guys uber powerful.
Right.
And Dialga has a really good place in this meta because a lot of the big hitters can't really touch it. You're thinking of like Zacian. Zacian's super popular. It's not doing much.
Ooh, yeah.
It resists a lot of stuff that comes from Kyogre, which is really big right now because Choice Scarfed Kyogre is pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy to run. yeah, it just handles all of those things really well.
Interesting.
It handles a lot of things very well, and you can usually get a turn one Trick Room going, and you're a speedy Dialga.
As a TCG player, I at this moment in space time,
oh, I'm so
I feel
sorry.
That ADP has ruined that trio for me
for a while.
So
yeah,
I wish I could say that no one uses Dialga or Palkia in the TCG, man, but that's not the case. It's everywhere.
I am really happy. I'm really proud of the TCG in a couple of ways outside of the fan base, fan base in quotes,
right,
buying up all of the cards right now. They release that deck though, that Battle Arena deck with ADP.
Yeah. They're making it more accessible than before.
Yeah, and I've seen that around, which is great. I'm such a big fan of that. Like, I think, I don't remember what the price is. I think it's something like $20, something around there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just buy three of those and you've got yourself a top tier deck. If you buy three
Absolutely.
Of them, you've got all of them. $60, you can have a top tier deck.
Yep.
That's insane to
me.
And
they're also making all those other ways. The support cards a lot easier to get. Like in a couple of months, I think February's set, they're coming out with a Crobat box.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just get it and you have your Crobat V.
This is like the healthiest I've seen Pokemon TCG in a long time.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a perfect example, Savilo, because remember when we were had the issue with shaming, and Crobat is basically an errata shaman EX. And shaming was $80, $100.
I remember that.
And there were decks that needed like minimum three, right? Or four if you really want to make it work. And, that's a lot of money. And, and we were all hoping for that one arena box to come in. Oh, maybe they'll give us shaming in a tin can. Maybe they'll give us shaming. Never happened. This time around, they're doing it. They're giving us the really hardcore cards.
Yep.
And that's really helping in limiting the price gouging online.
I'm really happy with that. I really like Pokemon as a trading card game for a lot of reasons. One of them being that it's definitely cheap compared to something like Magic. And
Yu-Gi-Oh!
And Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Gets ridiculous. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is better than Magic, I think. But it does get insane
I'm
sometimes.
Not the person to ask.
Shamu is honestly.
Yeah, Shamu will be much more, yeah. I used to play all of them, but I dropped off long ago, so I really have lost any right to opinionate on Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic. It's
I
been
think
too
Pokemon's
long.
The way to go anyway. Pokemon's the way.
Yeah.
This is the way. Pokemon.
This is the way.
I have spoken.
But yeah, I don't know. Have you guys been doing anything interesting lately?
Not Pokemon, unfortunately. We did go and went through the tournaments, all that, in the last episode of TCG Cast. Do not miss out. I've been playing Cyberpunk, really. It's the new game that came out. Been playing a lot of that. It's been
fun.
Is
it good? I haven't.
It is buggy as heck.
That's what I heard.
Of course, that is something that could be fixed with updates. So if you guys want to wait a while, totally recommend it.
I think they made one big patch last night. I think I saw
they
something.
They did, and I
like
still encounter some big issues. I have. I'm playing it on PS4, and it's the control, like the camera controls itself sometimes. It just tilts to the to the left, and it's not the controller. This is a brand new controller. It tilts to the left every time I try to talk to someone, so it looks like I don't know if it's immersive, like this is real life and you have a tick and your character just has a tick, but whenever I'm trying to talk to someone, the camera just slowly pans to the left, like I'm losing interest in what the character's saying. And it's like, no, keep your camera, keep your eyes on eye contact, just remain eye contact.
you gotta show them you care. You gotta.
Yeah, I gotta show those NPCs. And these NPCs, if you don't answer fast enough, they get mad. They lose interest if you. I haven't gone to the point where not answering, but if you wait too long to choose your answers, they start getting impatient and start like, are you gonna talk to me? Are you not? Do I leave? And it's like, damn it, I'm just trying to play this. But anyway, recommend it outside the bugs. The bugs are kind of game breaking in the sense that they really do push you out of the immersion is my only complaint. But again, those can be fixed. So hopefully we'll get a fix soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I was going to say Cyberpunk Underground Champions League, but decided against it.
So that's it. Seth, anything interesting on your end that's not Cyberpunk?
Well, I've been playing OU because that's what I do, and I've actually gotten a team that I'm somewhat satisfied with, except I can't figure out what the sixth member should be, but oh well, that's fun.
Well, we'll come up with a good one for you today.
Perfect. Perfect.
I think the answer is Rotom Frost.
Rotom Frost. I mean, I don't have an ice or electric type, so.
Rotom Frost. Because of the Fridge Perry.
Mm-hmm.
From the 1985 Chicago Bears. Have I told you this story, Seth? I have, absolutely.
Yeah, you have.
I absolutely have.
Yeah, you have. The fridge. Yeah, I think I remember it.
I have told you the story.
Yeah. Other than that, I've been doing TCG things, trying to get Senna Scorched perfected. I've been playing the heck out of Skyrim VR because...
Ooh, I have that.
I'm trying to mod it. It's working okay. I can't seem to
You're
level
modding
up
a VR
without crash
game?
To desktop. Yeah, I am.
Oh, that must be...
It's fun.
That must feel like the same Matrix where everything's just moving around.
Basically, it's so cool. I love it.
All right. Well, that's a good time. I guess it's time for us to kick it on over then to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. Yeah. There's some news to talk about this week. So, first of all, if you have signed up for the trainer update letter that Seth and I have but haven't received emails, you probably got your Zarude code for the giveaway. Mm-hmm. It's a really weird way to distribute it. I really hate that, by the way.
At least I don't have to go to a GameStop.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not GameStop. But why not just make the code public? Why?
To get you to sign up for their emails.
Yeah.
And like everything else in Nintendo, you're able to claim it until March 31st.
Woo.
Whether it be Super Mario 3D All-Stars or the Fire Emblem game or Zarude. Everything ends March 31st. I'm very confused, Nintendo. I'm very confused about this false sense
they
of urgency.
They have received the prophecy.
Everything ends on March.
Yeah, they keep saying, they're just like, we're not going to sell these games anymore after this. And it's just like, but why? People will buy them.
The prophecy is true.
Okay, Seth, tell us more.
You betcha. This is honestly the news that I was personally most excited about. The Pokemon Original Stitch shirts have announced that the Hoenn Pokemon line are coming soon. Unlike before, they'll be released in waves, and they start on the 27th of February. So we've got a while to wait until the first bunch of Hoenn Pokemon is available.
Mm-hmm.
They have already shown off the Treecko, Torchic, and Mudkip patterns. You can go to Serebii. I personally think the Treecko pattern is freaking awesome, and I really want that as like a shirt or maybe even like a mask. That would be cool.
Yeah, they are selling masks, by the way. They are doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and yeah, it looks like a tartan with little Treeccos all over it. It's so cool. Also, they're releasing Grookey, Scorbunny, and Sobble designs in the, quote, near future. We don't know exactly when, but Hoenn is getting started, and I pray to Arceus that the Sableye design doesn't suck. Please don't suck.
You are going to get the Sitting Cuties line soon, though, too.
Exactly. That's another thing I was excited about, is those little tiny plushes that are official that sit are coming.
They are cute. I have a lot of them. I have a surprising number of them.
I only have a couple, but I want more of them. And the official Sableye one looks good.
When I went to Japan, I got a good number of them because they just have them at every Pokemon Center. It's just like a wall.
They have them at every place.
It's just like a wall of Pokemon Sitting Cuties, and you can go and grab them. Every once in a while, they're missing like Umbreon, which was weird.
Of course.
No, like it would just not be on the shelf and there'd be no spot for it.
Oh.
I was just very confused. It would just skip from whatever's before and what to what's ever after. And I was just like, huh. Choices. Choices.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like the Sitting Cuties, though. I have a Feraligatr right here on the desk.
Hoenn's going to break my bank. Hoenn's the best region, Pokemon-wise, in my opinion. There's where a lot of my favorites come from, so this is going to break me.
So I remember when Hoenn came out, I always thought the designs were definitely a departure from what the past.
Mm-hmm. And same here.
I don't know who my favorite Hoenn Pokemon is. I would say like that's one of the generations where all three of the starters are a banger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't say if you chose any of the three starters in Hoenn that you chose poorly.
Right.
unlike all the fifth gen starters.
Yes, all of them. No matter which one you pick, you've made a bad choice.
Yeah.
That is a true statement. Like, Samurott's maybe salvageable.
Poor Samurott.
Superior is only salvageable because of hidden ability.
Yeah.
So, haha.
Yeah, they're all bad.
I think Sublime would have had strong feelings about this.
Yes, he would, but he's not here.
Fight me. He knows it's true.
All right. Tell us about Pokemon Home, Jushiro.
Pokemon Home is actually still fixing some bugs.
What?
Yeah, they've come up with an update to fix some of the issues with the Alolan forms having a moveset for the standard form, which is something that certainly you do not want. I mean, you don't just want those Alolan just because they're cute.
Yeah, they had an issue where, I think it's because Pokemon Go happened, not because of anything else. It's the Pokemon Go transfer, if you transferred in a regional, like one of the Alolan forms.
Right.
Over, it would end up having the moveset that it should have had if it was a normal version, which is weird and broken, and so they decided to fix that.
Before you ask, no, they're not allowed on Smogon ladders. You cannot use Flamethrower Alolan Ninetales. Sorry.
What about Surf Drillbur?
It's Hydro Pump.
Hydro Pump Drillbur.
I was going to say, how does the game recognize that they're wrong and not let you use online? Or
those don't pass the hack check, essentially.
Okay, good.
So there's a definition that I think people get very confused with what Pokemon does. So Pokemon doesn't actually do hack checks when they do events like that. What they do is they do legality checks, which is a different beast entirely. So as long as your Pokemon is possible in the game, you're good.
Mm, okay.
Because there's no way for them to be like, oh, that's a hacked Pokemon. They can go, oh, that's an illegal Pokemon.
Just because you catch a Mewtwo in Route 2 doesn't mean you can't use it, as long as that Mewtwo does not carrying something weird.
Well, so that's one of the things that would make it illegal, is it being caught on Route 2.
Oh, okay.
But I digress. Moving on, keep an eye out for the weekend of the 19th or possibly the weekend of Christmas for a special weekend max raid event, because they happen when we don't do the show and then we can't tell you about them. Like I said, Dragon Cup happened over the weekend, and right now you can get a gold bottle cap until December 14th using a very long code that I'm not going to read to you. You can find it on Cerebee or on the Puckles Discord server. We have all the giveaway codes over there as well. So, moving on to everyone's favorite segment, the Pokemon Go news.
Yeah, and on that topic, we've heard you guys on the survey. Thank you guys for filling that out, by the way.
Keep filling it out if you haven't.
Yeah, because it helps us get feedback on the show, which we're hearing about the Go segment. So we're going to try and prioritize only the biggest, most interesting parts of Go for you.
Yep.
Just to kind of respond to your feedback on that for this news section. So,
yep.
Continue on.
There will be a wintertime event from December 18th through December 21st, where Galarian Mr. Mime and Mr. Rhyme will be obtainable alongside other Ice-type Pokemon, because we all know how much we want Mr. Rhyme in the game.
Okay, so the thing with that, too, is that it costs money to do it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's like $8 or something for the ticket to do that.
Who in the right mind at the Pokemon International Company would say, let me charge money for Mr. Rhyme?
Yeah, so from December 18th, all players will get a very special bonus with more, blah, blah, blah. There's also a special ticket for purchase. This ticket gives you the special research that allows you to capture Galarian Mr. Mime. Yep. Cool. So you have to buy the ticket. So Pokemon Go is getting really bad, because I saw Joe Merrick complain about it on Twitter. He's just like, I really like your game, but you guys are really trying to dip into the honey pot a lot more recently. And it's just like,
and you, when you try to monetize Mr. Rhyme, there's just something wrong there.
Like, this is a weird thing for me to want to monetize, but okay.
They have no rhyme or reason.
It's fine. So they changed the 5-star raids until December 27th. They're going to be rotating the 3 Regis, Registeel, Regice, and Regirock. There we go.
I like you.
I kept wanting to say Aleki and Draco because they're the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not in yet.
They're not in the game yet, but those three are rotating currently until December 27th. Also, there's going to be a tie-in Go event to the Secrets of the Jungle movie beginning December 14th. Special research to get a shiny Celebi encounter, which can be transferred to home.
Ooh.
Explorer Pikachu will be available in the wild from the 14th until the 21st. Various increase in spawns and eggs for Pokemon relevant to the film, as well as the introduction of shiny Rufflet to the game. Jesse and James Balloon will spawn more frequently on December 25th. That's the date of the film release in Japan.
Not Christmas. Don't get your cables twisted.
And will be returning in general.
Does this say that Jesse and James are Santa? Is that what I'm hearing? I feel like that's what I'm hearing.
No, that's what we just tried to say. It's not, but that's okay. Finish us off this Pokemon Go news here, Seth.
You bet. Running through through it quickly. On February 20th, there's a Pokemon Go Tour Kanto. It'll cost $12, rounding the penny up, and you'll get to select a version which gives specific spawns. The event will also give you access to Shiny Mew, and every single Kanto Pokemon can be Shiny during this event, and Legendary Birds and Mewtwo will be in raids. That's it.
The Shiny Mew thing, I saw the Pokemon Go community really pop off about.
Makes sense.
And I guess the Pokemon community in general, because I think the only chance for you to get a Shiny Mew, well, there's technically two, but the only chance for you to get a Shiny Mew in the past has been to get the Pokemon Emerald event to go to,
yeah,
get the map to go catch it in the wild.
Right.
There was also another giveaway, if I remember, in 2002, where you could get up to 7 Mew during a giveaway, and they still had like normal shiny odds. So you could technically have gotten one from that, but
yeah,
it's not a good time. So this is a really good way to get a shiny Mew, and this is how Pokemon Go, I guess, makes themselves relevant for the next forever, by giving away shiny mythicals. All right, so we have some Puckle news for you. This is the juiciest bits. So, like Seth said, our survey's still going on, so please make sure you go and you fill it out. It's in the show notes. It's also on the Discord. It's on Twitter. It's everywhere. You can just go fill it out. We would really appreciate it. If we hit 150, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a Shiny Genesect giveaway. Yeah, it's going to be cool. And then this is more exciting. Next Saturday, December 19th, Seth and I are going to be hosting the next Puckle Showdown event.
Yes.
It's going to be a really good time. If you caught the last one, it was a lot of fun. The idea is co-hosts are paired up in teams. They get thrown on a random ladder by me and Seth.
It'll be fun.
We are going to commentate and watch them go ahead and see who can get to the highest in 2 hours.
Come and watch me fail upwards.
In addition to that, there's going to be a part two to that because some of the hosts have decided they go for a round two and we have some patrons jumping on board as well.
Ooh.
So they're going to be teaming up with patrons to go ahead and do a round two. So there's two for one. I think it's going to start around 1 o'clock Eastern over on twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And so it's going to go on for a while. I mean, I'm planning we'll probably end around 3:30, 4 o'clock for the first round. And there'll probably be a short break with some interlude. And then it's going to be followed up by a part two around 5, 6 o'clock. It's going to be a really, really fun time. I'm very excited for it. Puckle Showdown is a lot of fun. So be sure to be there. Other than that, that is all of the news we have for you this week. We are going to go ahead and take a short break, or not even take a short break. We're just going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to the Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host Seth and Jushiro together on 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions brought to us by the Discord server. They're going to be operating together as a team to get possibly up to 8 points. 1 point per question. One question, the Pokedex question is worth 2 if they get it correct. There is a multiple answer question as well for them to score a possible 9 points. Or not 9, 7. I thought 8, and I was like, I need to subtract 1, and then I added 1.
And he said 9 points.
You heard him here, guys. He said 9. We could do 9 today. But they also have a lifeline, which is the hint. And if they don't use that hint and they get all of the questions correct, they can cash it in for an eighth point. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. These questions, as always, come from our Discord community. You can just jump in and do that. Also, this segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all of your nerdy needs. They've got a coupon code for you as well, which is just PokeQuiz for 20% off at checkout. So without further ado, let's jump into this first question from, how many of them are there? G. McGee.
Let's get that 9th point, Savilo.
You bet.
The imaginary 9th point. All right.
Can I get it for writing my name on the test? I think that's how I get the first point.
What Pokemon has the most priority moves, positive and negative?
The most priority moves, positive and negative?
Yeah. Moves that change its priority bracket.
The first one that comes to mind is Hitmontop.
Right.
Yeah. I think it gets Sucker Punch, Vacuwave, Bullet Punch, Mach Punch. I think it gets all those. I can't think of any negative.
Quick Attack.
Yeah. I think it's Hitmontop. I know that there's some things get like the highest number of crit moves and the highest number of things, and I think it's
that's the Pokemon having an ability count that turns the attacks into priorities.
I wouldn't think so. Prankster.
That's what I mean.
That doesn't count.
Sableye.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, I can't come up with anything other than Hitmontop.
Yeah. So let's go with that one.
Okay.
Hitmontop is correct.
Woof.
He gets 16, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Feint, helping hand, fake out, quick attack, detect, revenge, wide guard, quick guard, sucker punch, counter, protect, endure, mock punch, vacuum wave, bullet punch, and ally switch.
Wow. I didn't know he was like the priority Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Gliscor is the critical hit Pokemon. It gets the highest number of increased critical hit moves of all Pokemon.
Well, thanks for the extra trivia question that we didn't want.
You're welcome.
You're trying to get that ninth point real hard, Seth.
I'm just trying to flex here.
All right. Our next question is going to be from Bowling for Bear.
Yeah, I love that name.
In Generation 1, what is the only non-ghost type Pokemon that can learn the move Lick in Generation 1?
It's not Lickitung. It is not Lickitung. I know that.
Really? It doesn't learn?
Not Lick? In Gen 1.
I
would have
lost that bet.
Yeah, that's why I quickly swooped in with that one.
Who else learns Lick in the first... Well, non-ghost that learns Lick.
The answer won't surprise you.
I feel like I should know this, and for some reason, I can't recall. Do you have any idea, Seth?
One thing that comes to mind for some reason is Growlithe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about Golbat?
Oh.
No? Does he learn Lick?
That would make sense.
It could be Golbat, right? I vaguely remember him having Lick.
I would trust that over Growlithe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then let's go with Golbat.
Yeah, and they're kind of spooky boys, so yeah, let's go with it.
Unfortunately, Golbat is incorrect. Golbat does learn Lick in later generations. However, in Generation 1, the only other Pokemon that learns Lick, it's not Lickitung, as Seth said. It is Jinx.
Oh, son of a gun.
Oh.
It is Jinx learns it. Yeah. Jinx.
Huh.
I had to go over the hurdle of remembering Jinx.
Don't worry about that too much. All right.
Dang it, there went 9 points.
Our next question is your Pokedex entry question. So I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry. If you get the Pokemon correct on the first entry, you will get 2 points. If you are riding the Struggle Bus, I will force a second entry down your throat, and you have to tell me what the Pokemon is for a reduced amount of 1 point. If you get it incorrect after that, 0 points. So
okay. We're
going to go ahead and read this one from Charizard Clan Chief. Its Soul Silver Pokedex entry reads, vicious in nature, it drives Pidgey from their nest and scavenges any leftovers it can find. Who's that Pokemon?
Scavenger. Pidgeys. Trees.
Drives Pidgeys from their nest and scavenges anything it can find.
Sparrow? Pharaoh?
Spearow, maybe.
What preys on Pidgeys?
Ekans comes to mind.
Mmm.
And that seems a little bit more like a scavenger than Spearow.
Right. Wait. Soul Silver. This is after 4th gen, right?
Yeah.
It is in 4th gen. So Viper and the other one, Zigzagoon, don't they?
I don't think it's Zigzagoon, no.
Okay. He seems like an ex-dealer for me for whatever reason.
A lot of Zigzagoon entries are about how it moves funny.
Okay. No, not Zigzagoon. I'm so sorry. The other Zig Pokemon.
The Seviper
friend? Yeah, that's the one I meant.
That I can't think of.
I can't remember his name either.
All those are about like how they hate each other.
You're right, though. Yeah, they're not egg related. For whatever reason, I thought he was an egg stealer. Who's an egg stealer in 4th gen down?
I think it's Ekans. That makes sense to my head.
All right, second Pokedex entry time.
Son of a gun.
Its Ultra Moon Dex entry reads, it blends into the dark of night to ambush its prey. These Pokemon will attack Sandshrew, but Sandshrew's hard skin can cause its claws to snap off.
Oh, isn't this the Ice Dark Pokemon Sneasel?
Sneasel?
Or Weavile?
I'm okay with that. Sneasel sounds good, I guess.
Yeah.
Better than Ekans.
Sneasel would totally go on eggs. He would totally hide in the dark. And if they do have long nails that could, you know, break if they try to attack a Sandshrew.
And in Alola, that would be an ice type that it's hunting. So yeah, I think Sneasel makes more sense now.
Okay. Sneasel?
Sneasel is correct.
Yes. Okay.
Phew.
That is 3 points for you, or two points. You guys got the one question wrong. You're 2 for 3. All right. Your next question is your multiple poll answer question. And this one is going to be from MOMO. I think we've asked this question several times, and I don't know how many times anybody remembers this question. There are six answers. I'll give you a point for every two that you give me.
Okay.
You can guess up to two incorrect answers as well. To promote Pokemon the first movie, Burger King sold a set of gold-plated Pokemon cards.
Oh, no.
What were the six Pokemon available?
I remember. Mewtwo.
Yep. Charizard.
Charizard, yes. Pikachu. Was it Blastoise and Venusaur too?
What have you told me so far? Pikachu, Charizard, Mewtwo?
Yeah.
Those three are correct, yes.
I feel like Jigglypuff was one of them too.
Are you locking Jigglypuff in?
Yes.
Yes.
That is four of the six. You have 2 points.
Okay, there's two more.
You have two incorrect answers left.
First movie. Mew's not one of them, right?
No. Blastoise Venusaur sounds safe, like you said.
Yeah, it's just it sounds like it might be Blastoise and Venusaur, but I don't recall them though. I can picture every single one of the other ones, but I can't picture Venusaur and Blastoise in my mind. That's why I'm kind of hesitating.
Because I would have dug getting a Venusaur one.
Right. And I'm trying to think what other Pokemon was featured in Pokemon the movie.
Meowth.
Enough for it to have its own Burger King toy. I want to say Squirtle, but he had the little toy that you put with water and you squeeze and it will squirt.
Yeah.
The Burger King toys were amazing, by the way.
They were.
Right? They were, man. One of the few things we can say was better back in the day.
Yeah. Was Meowth one of them? That would make sense.
Ooh, I do recall Meowth. Yes, that's one of them.
Are you locking that in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. That is not Meowth. You have one more incorrect answer.
Dang it.
Yeah, I do not know the last two. I'm blanking out.
Do we want to just YOLO and say Blastoise Venusaur?
Yeah, Blastoise Venusaur.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, that's incorrect.
Didn't think so.
You guys got 2 points out of that, though, so you guys are 4-for-4 finally.
What was the last two?
Just like Wendy's. Hey. So you've got Pikachu, Charizard, Mewtwo, Jigglypuff.
Okay.
The other two, because remember, this is Gen 1. Poliwhirl. Right. Poliwhirl was in all of the merch for whatever reason.
Right.
It's the founder's favorite Pokemon.
Yep. And Togepi.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Hashtag anime. You guys are 4-for-4. I don't know if you got what kind of sauce you got with your nuggets, but next up is going to be from BAM!
BAM!
This is your base stat question as always, and he wants to know what psychic type Pokemon has the highest special defense stat? Or highest defense, physical defense.
Oh.
Highest defense? Deoxys defense form? No. Mega Slowbro.
Mega Slowbro?
Yeah, the 180.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'm not very knowledgeable on the base.
I can't think of anything else. Cosmo M does not reach that. I think it's at 130. I
keep forgetting Cosmo has ridiculous defenses.
Yeah, Deoxys defense is like 150-ish. I believe it's Mega Slowbro at 180.
Is Mega Slowbro your final answer? That.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mega Slowbro is correct.
Woo!
With a base 180 defense. That gives you guys 5 points today. And it just changed up the leaderboard.
Woo. I would hope it would.
It does because everybody's close. So here we go. In first place, we have Whimsicott with 21 points. In second place, we have Dr. Shamu with 15 points. In third place, we have Linian with 14 points. Tied for fourth, we have Jushiro and Seth Vilo with 11 points. In sixth place, we have R-Sigma with 8. In seventh place, we have P. McGee with 7. Sublime and Claude are tied with 6 points in eighth place. And Basket has yet to get on the board. You remember, you are in a race to 30 points with your fellow co-host to get a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. All right, on that note, let's kick it on over to the topic.
Hello, everyone. It's Claude9. Are you interested in Pokemon Draft Leagues? Do you want to compete in a fun Pokemon format against some of the co-hosts and other members of the community? Well, you're in luck. Puckle will be running its 5th season of the Puckle Draft League. Applications are in the announcement section of the Discord and will be available until January 3rd. Come be a part of the action.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Pokemon you would like to have in your home. I wish that was a joke. That sounds like a joke when I say it, but it's not. I think it's a not. Fun
it's,
little topic.
It's a topic.
We've each come up with 3 Pokemon that we think would be really cool to have in their house and have around the home. I'm very excited to talk about them. I'm really excited, actually. I'm very excited. This is going to be a fun combo.
This was kind of difficult to think about, too, because you can't like have anything ridiculously huge. You got to really think about functionality. It was fun.
I was thinking about some of like the more humanoid Pokemon, too, and how they would move around my house. If you look at a lot of the humanoid Pokemon, they're all really, they've got really wide shoulders.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there's no way they're making it through my house without knocking something over.
Yeah.
Machoke will not fit into the doorway in this apartment.
Yeah, Machoke's gonna do something, or like Mr. Mime's gonna knock something over with his shoulder pads. My first one, and I know Seth was thinking about this one too, is Rotom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's because of like the typical things that people think, because like obviously there's a lawnmower version, right, which is great. I would love for him to take over my lawnmower and just cut my grass for me. That sounds amazing. More aptly, because I'm a home do-it-yourselfer, I would love him for a lot of electrical issues that I face.
Yeah.
And I'm being completely serious, because, and I have like a lot of things that go wrong, because I redid all the lights in my basement about maybe a year ago now. I redid all the lights in my basement. I mean, it was a pain in the butt, because I had to make sure all the wiring was done correctly. I spent probably 3 hours tracing the wiring that the guy that owned the house before me did in the basement, and it was not done well, by the way. He also got really...
Nothing to Rotom.
Yeah, but I could send Rotom in and be like, hey, Rotom, find out which circuit breaker this is so I can turn it off and not die. And that would be really cool. I could also just have him fix electrical things around the house that stopped working, which sounds amazing. So this is a story. This is literally from last night. We have a TV in the bedroom, and we have a Fire Stick hooked up to the TV so we can watch all of our streaming stuff. And my wife's like, I want to watch The Mandalorian tonight. Good choice.
Good choice indeed.
Excellent.
And I was just like, cool. So we turned the TV on, and the Fire Stick just stopped working.
How dare it.
And so, you know what? Rotom would have been right all over that instead of me having to Google what the heck's going on with my Fire Stick. And I'll tell you how I fixed it, because it was the weirdest way. And I don't understand what happened and how it worked, by the way. Because my first instinct is, okay, pull the Fire Stick out, unplug it, let it reset.
IT 101.
That's what I did. Didn't work. I went online and somebody's like, Amazon told me these instructions and it worked. And what they did, I still don't comprehend what happened there, was Amazon said, unplug your TV, like my TV, while it's still on, unplug it, and then hold the power button on my TV for 30 seconds, then plug it back in and the Fire Stick will work. And I go, how the heck is that going to do anything? I did it.
It clears the temporary memory on the computer in the TV. The 30-second thing is a soft reset, and it clears out all of the RAM, because otherwise, if it's less than 30 seconds, it stays.
You know what? I wouldn't need Seth to tell me that. Rotom would have told me that.
And had you had the Rotom Pokedex or a Rotom phone, Rotom could have literally told you that, because that allows it to speak human language.
Exactly. Also, I want to say that the Rotom Dex feels like a Gen 1 iPad now compared to the Rotom phone.
Yeah.
It's literally like the worst thing is like, why do you exist?
Did you know Rotom can time travel too?
No, wait. How would you get that from?
Bulbapedia.
No.
In the anime, Rotom has the ability to time travel.
Oh.
Of course.
Not a fan.
Because having living things with alter dimensioning powers is just totally normal.
Yeah.
All right, Seth, how about you go with one of yours now?
You betcha. The one that I want to start off with is probably also equally as not surprising. Indeedee, specifically the male version for general people. Indeedee's specifically the male one, because the dex entry for Sword, it talks about how males will act as valets for those they serve, looking after their every need.
That's a butler, not a valet.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of the same thing. They just use both. I'll let him drive my car, though. I trust him. He's good enough.
Okay, but could he get a driver's license?
I mean, probably. If he's at least level 16.
That's a bad joke, but okay.
I would go with the male one, because the female one in its version in the shield thing, it talks about how it's good at babysitting. I don't need that in my life right now, so... The male one's just like the regular old butler. And, you know, if they lay down psychic terrain, I don't have to worry about any of my priorities.
I like the idea of him parking my car.
Right?
I'm not driving my car. Like, I don't need a chauffeur, per se, but...
Where to, sir?
Where to?
I'll drive around in circles until you're done at Starbucks.
I can't go in Starbucks right now anyway, so...
When you're done with your groceries, I'll walk in and pick them up for you.
It would be nice if the Indeedee would bring in my groceries. That's true.
Psychically.
From the car. They could just do it with their hands. I would demand it.
You would demand it.
Wow. Servitude here.
It can also use aromatherapy, so it can make the house smell nice. Like, I mean, it's a good Pokemon.
Definitely is. Now, let me tell you something.
Well, male won't set, it won't set that psychic terrain in your house, so...
It will block all priority shipments. From-
yeah, oh, no. Oh, no.
No!
Nope. FedEx will not get there.
That was good. That was good.
Since we're all in the Christmas spirit here, we all know this is a special time of year, but are you tired of having to buy gifts to every single one of your family members, even if you don't care about them? Or are you just tired of giving money to Jeff Bezos because everything you have to buy through Amazon? I got a solution for you. Bellybird, ladies and gentlemen. He will get you the gifts and the presents for free for absolutely everyone. No need to shop.
Are they free, though? Oh, I guess they're Delibird presents, but... Okay, so it could go really poorly, or it could go really badly, because, like, half of Delibird's presents explode.
Yes. That's how you know it's good, because you can definitely give those presents to specifically people.
No, you don't know if it's going to, though.
Even better,
Grandpa,
it's a surprise.
Grandpa, can I open Uncle Jushiro's present? No, we have to put it under the bomb shelter, like last year.
Gotta bomb the bomb unit every time he gives you something, but... You know, it's there. It can also heal you. Hey, you might be dying. And it might just give you that 4% HP that you need to not die.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Daddy Bird's case, and gentlemen, it's your solution.
Okay. Yeah. So in the same vein of Rotom, I've got another one.
Oh,
Porygon.
Boy. Oh, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because not only do you have electrical problems in your house, but you wanted to put Cat 5 Ethernet cables in the walls. So you need your Porygon to zoom around your home network, or he can at least diagnose what's wrong with your router. Maybe he can make it all the way to your ISP and he can find out why it's down that day, because we live in America.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Rotom for hardware and you've got Porygon
for software. Yeah, exactly. You can get beamed in with the Porygon somehow, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which is...
Don't take a Pikachu or you'll get a seizure.
No, no. Yeah, don't take a Pikachu. I don't keep a Pikachu in my house, just a Rotom and a Porygon, okay?
And eventually you can upgrade to Porygon 2, which is basically Windows 10, or you can upgrade to Porygon Z, which is Windows Vista.
Oh no. Windows Vista. Could you imagine though, like, in the little Porygon, like, popping up on your desktop, like an actually good paperclip helper?
That would be so good.
Cyberpunk is really right now in its Porygon C stage.
I see you were setting a static IP. Are you sure you want to do that?
And he's like, Porygon, how about you tell me what I should do? And Porygon's like, don't worry, I got this.
Would you like me to set up a VPN for you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want.
Virtual Porygon Network.
You see, you hear it screeching and you're like, what's going on? Oh, it's trapped in the firewall.
It's good. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I think Porygon is the correct answer.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's your IT Pokemon.
Yeah, I like it a lot just for IT. Well, just for networking, because, like, I set up a lot of home networking stuff. And so I think it'd be helpful to do that kind of work. Rotom and Porygon helping me put together things. I'm quickly becoming just like the typical nerd you see in the Pokemon games with these answers. But don't worry, my last one's gonna be off the rails. So
I hope we're all saving our crazy one for last.
All right, Seth, tell me about it.
Okay, you're doing the things that you'd like, the easy things, the virtual things. I'm looking more at like physical things that I don't want to do myself. Yeah, exactly. Like things like that. And just that I'm lazy. Like, I don't want to do this. And I have a problem with this in my house anyway. And I have allergies. So I really need it addressed. I've got dust everywhere. Part because I just am lazy and I don't dust. I have a cat. I have a bird. And I have a lot of places that dust can collect. What Pokemon hates dust? Chinchino.
Oh.
Ah, that's true.
Its sword entry says its body secretes oil that this Pokemon spreads all over its nest as a coating to protect it from dust. It also says in another place that it just absolutely hates dust, can't stand a speck of it, and it'll clean up any that it sees. But another one in one entry, one Ultra Moon entry, it talks a lot about this oil that this Chinchino produces. And hello, my name is Seth Vilo, and I have dermatitis. Yay. in the Ultra Moon Dex entry, it says the oil that seeps from his body is really smooth. For people troubled by bad skin, this oil is an effective treatment. So not only does it clean my house, it helps with my dermatitis.
It's like a not shedding cat. That's what I see this as. It's a not shedding cat.
The reverse of a shedding cat. Yeah, yeah, that can help my skin look clearer. Yes, it's the perfect Pokemon. I need one in my house right now.
He would be constantly like full of dirt.
But then yeah. It cleans itself, you see.
So real talk, there is a solution for this in your real life, and it's called a robot vacuum. No joke.
That doesn't get, like, above all my stuff. That just gets the floor. I need, like, everything. Like, the mantle, the TV, the computer.
Oh, well, I can't help you.
Inside my keyboard. Like, I need everything.
I don't know. Do you want, like, a oil everywhere on your... Oh, like, every... Like, I just imagine it kind of being sticky, like, all the time. Everything's, like, slightly sticky.
I think it'd be kind of slick.
Okay. That's a bad joke, but that's fine. That's a Seth joke right there.
Hey, what up?
Jushiro, what's your next one?
Hey-o.
Guys, have you ever encountered yourself on a Saturday night with your friends over? You know, pre-COVID, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, I, what are friends and what are having them
20
over?
20 years ago when we used to see each other.
I just hissed them.
You might be bored. It's a Saturday night, nothing to play. Well, don't worry, guys. There is a solution. Hot Voltorb. Think about hot potato.
What?
But it's a Voltorb. Now,
what?
Hear me out. Hear me out.
Go on.
This is so bad.
Voltorb is an excellent Pokemon. It provides electricity when you need it, right? It even provides energy when it, you know, commits suicide. It provides 2 energy usually. But most importantly is it's a way of you know how to trust and play with your friends. It's a game that teaches you that time is of an essence and that you might be the one that blow up at any time. So you must live life fully. And I just can't think of a better Saturday night afternoon than just handing over my best friends like Thatch and Seth of our Torb and see if it explodes or not. Because remember, guys, it's not fun in games until someone blows up.
Oh my god.
So with the Voltorb, at least it could like learn Flash, right? So mm-hmm. like if your power goes out, you've got a light. I also see a Pineco working to do the exact same job. And it can be a home decoration.
Wrap a scarf around it. It's Christmas.
Can you teach him to have Flash, but it will be like those disco balls from the 70s?
Let me see. Yeah. Does Pineco learn Flash? Does Pineco learn Flash?
I don't think it does, but I don't know.
I want to know if it learns Flash. It might. It might be in its move pool somewhere. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist in modern day Pokemon, but...
Right.
Let's see if he gets Flash. I don't think he does, but he does not get Flash. Womp womp.
There you go. Voltorb's the way to go.
Voltorb's the way to go. Mm-hmm. Unless you want a Pineco decoration.
Yeah.
So my last one, I gave this one some thought because I was just like, yeah, I've got 2 techie things, you know, but I gotta branch out. I thought to myself, what could be useful? And the answer is Lilligant for several reasons. One, it can help with the gardening. It understands plants. 2, I shouldn't have a garden. I don't want a garden. I'll kill it. Second of all of its Pokedex entries talk about its aroma that it puts out, and it says the fragrance of its flower differs slightly depending on the soil where it grew up. Sniffing the aroma calms your heart and mind.
Oh, okay.
Who doesn't want that in their house, right? Apparently, it's so good that in Sword it says it's believed that the first. That even first-rate gardeners have a hard time getting the flower in Lilligant's head to bloom. Oh, it's Shield. I misread. Essential oils made from Lilligant's flowers have sublime scent, but they're also staggeringly expensive. So this stuff is good. So 1, side business. 2, you're calm in your house all the time, which sounds amazing. I don't know about you guys. After work, though, I would like to go home and not be stressed out.
Don't we all?
And that I wouldn't say that's necessarily true without a Lilligant, okay? I'm an adult. I thought Lilligant was a good answer because, one, I was just thinking, who can help, like, take care of the plants that I have outside, or at least help me weed. I was just like, oh, it's got an aroma so that when it's just hanging out in your house, bringing me a cheese and cracker plate because it's a slave. It's going to make me feel good about myself. I'm going to feel very relaxed as it brings me my cheese and cracker plate.
That's a really good one. And it has own tempo, so you won't be able to confuse it with whatever music you play.
Exactly. It's going to love the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
All right. Seth, what's your last one?
Okay. I've got kind of a similar vein as far as wanting a grass type to help with things like that. I don't know if mine would be as helpful for the garden directly, but it might be good. There's also a lot of other uses that this thing has that reading into its move pool and dex entries I didn't think of until today. That Pokemon is Appleton. As a reminder, it is 1 foot tall.
It's tiny.
It's itty bitty. Like,
it's like
one
hanging
foot
out
four.
On your countertop.
I did not know it was so small.
That's another, like, I see it and I think, oh, this thing's going to be 4 feet tall. It's a giant. No, it's 1 foot tall.
Wow. It's so tiny.
It's so tiny. And it smells good. Its sword entry says a nectarous scent wafts from its body. It's like apple pie kind of thing coming from its body. It also says it lures bug Pokemon that it eats, so it can get rid of bugs if you have them in your house.
That makes sense. It's kind of like having like those little like sugar water traps for them.
Yeah, exactly. Except it just eats them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Boom. And what does it do with the food that it makes? Well, it grows. And what does it grow? The things on its back that Shield so horrifyingly tells us are actually delicious snacks. Its body is covered in sweet nectar, and the skin on its back is especially yummy.
Oh, wow.
So you can just eat it. You could probably compost it, too, to make one heck of a fertilizer for your garden. It also has the move Apple Acid, which, if you read the description, it says the user attacks with a target with an acidic liquid created from tart apples. So it's not necessarily apple-y stuff. It's an acidic cleanser, which is a sanitizer. I'm using it right now because I'm getting ready to brew some mead and stuff like that. So I could use that through the house to clean more than just dusting. And, I mean, it's got sweet scent. It's got
all things.
I'm into it.
It's a lot of use for one Pokemon. You can eat it. It can eat your bugs. It makes your house smell good.
I'm from Washington State, so I have to do the obligatory ask, can you smoke it?
Oh, no.
I mean, okay. Probably. I don't want to ask it, though.
I don't want to ask. All right, Jashir, what's your last one?
My last one is, well, you guys have great ideas, and having plant Pokemons out in your room to just completely ease you out and be calm and relaxed is perfect. But what if you actually want to go and party hard? If you want to go party hard, if you want to make sure that if you're a college student in campus and you want to have the party of your life, or you're just at home and you want to annoy your neighbors to no end, I can only recommend your own very own Loudred. Now, think about this. He can be a stereo home theater for your TV. You just plug that DVR into wherever you plug things on your Loudred. You can have him just boombox, as we saw in the Detective Pikachu movie. He can do some sick mouth boomboxing noise. So he's pretty talented. If you need him just to overall turn your party completely 180 and be the party of the century, a couple of Loudreds in your side, boom, you have music, you have Loud, and you're probably going to have a lot of lawsuits against loss of hearing. But apart from that, you're going to be great.
That's a good one. I didn't think of that one.
Loudred. Yeah. So
not explode though. That's over.
No. It's a good boombox. It's a good boombox to have. It's not bad. These were good. I like this. We need to do this more. All right. So if you have a Pokemon that you think would be good to have in your house, you have an explanation. That's a good place to put it in the mailbag at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. I'm very excited to hear what you guys have.
I am too.
I'm very excited to see what everybody else has. I'm very excited. Yeah. All right, so we're going to kick it on over and take a short break with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 797, Celesteela, the launch Pokemon.
Its Ultra Moon Dex entry states, although it's alien to this world and a danger here, it's apparently a common organism in the world where it normally lives, which is terrifying because of just how much mass it takes up.
Right?
Mass or room? I'm very confused. But it is heavy.
Both. It's, what, 30 feet tall and the heaviest Pokemon? Like, it is a big girl.
I wonder if we assume, I mean, I'm going to calculate its density at some point now, but we'll yeah. figure that out. See if it's actually that heavy of a rocket. It probably isn't.
This is like that world's long-necked dinosaurs, which were very common back in the day.
It is quite literally 1 ton, which is small by animal standards, but...
It is.
Pokemon standards, that's the highest they have ever made so far, so...
Yeah. So Celesteela, steel and flying type. That's cool, because it's a rocket ship. And Celesteela is also an Ultra Beast, so it gets Beast Boost. It's one of the more balanced Ultra Beasts as well, so you can actually trigger different stats to get the Beast Boost. It's got 97 base HP, 101 attack, 103 defense, 107 special attack, 101 special defense, 61 speed. Solid all around.
Big and slow. It's almost like a Pixie legend, except the speed just is garbage. The rest are almost 100.
Yeah, it doesn't have good speed, because Ultra Beast always backs out at 570, unless you're Naganadel. So, but yeah, we have a Battle Spot singles team this week. It's from Japan.
Chopin.
But it looks really fun, and it looks like the special attack is getting the boost this time, because you just go big with that. You just go big! Okay, tell us about it, Seth.
You bet. We've got Celesteela holding a life orb. Obviously, the ability is Beast Boost. EVs are simple. 4 HP, max special attack, max speed with a modest nature. And the moveset is Air Slash, Giga Drain, Flash Cannon, and Flamethrower. The whole idea is that you Dynamax, pop off, start throwing out max airstreams to get your speed up, and then when you go down, go to town.
Go down, go to town.
I choose my words. And, you know, recover off any damage with Giga Drain, and then just keep going, getting those Beast Boosts as you knock things out with your excellent, excellent coverage. So that's the Celesteela. Really good. It's the Dynamax Pokemon. It's the primary focus of the team.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Another Pokemon we have on here that you often don't bring in BSS format. There's three that you bring, and we'll each go over one of them. But one that you don't bring that's in the back for situational things is Landorus Therian with a Passo Berry. That's the water-reducing one.
Mm-hmm.
Ability Intimidate, obviously. EVs do something magic. I don't know exactly what. But 252 HP, 4 attack, 116 defense, 4 special defense, 132 speed with an impish nature. Has speed to outrun something, I guess. And overall, it's just a bulk
something thing. Yeah, probably. I don't know what. It's not too worried, because you're just trying to counter Kokos and Regieleki's.
Exactly. And I imagine the 4 attack and 4 special defense are in there, because this is level 50 format, and that's really the only places they'd fit.
Yep.
Moveset is Earthquake, U-Turn, Fly, and Swords Dance. Most likely, this is another potential Dynamax thing, so you can do a Swords Dance and then a Max Airstream with Fly. And
well, you also aren't as familiar or as in tuned with the Dynamax meta, it's actually really good to have these two turn moves like that, because you just get to burn a turn of Dynamax.
That's true. Yeah, I hadn't considered that. That's a good point.
People use that all the time with Dragapult and Phantom Force.
Oh.
So Phantom Force ended up not actually being that bad of a move overall for it to have. On top of that, in VGC, Phantom Force also gets to select its target. It's immune to Ally Switch.
And Protect.
Yeah. So, Phantom Force is a fantastic move for Dragapult. Just as a heads up. But some other guys to have on this team. First one being Cresselia with the Key Berry. And I forget which stat that boosts, but I'm going to look this up so that I am correct. So Key Berry, when you plant it, will do this. I don't care about that.
Defense. If it's hit with a physical move, it increases defense.
Yes, it increases your defense. So that's great. 2 HP, 236 defense, 20 speed, because you're trying to outspeed a thing, or it's a speed creep on a Cresselia itself. One of the two. Both are very possible.
Yeah.
Both are very, it's base 85 speed, so it's probably just to outspeed other base 85s, which is a common speed tier. In addition to that, you've got Stored Power, Substitute, Calm Mind, and Moonlight. All of those things are fantastic.
Yeah, this is ugly.
That Cresselia is really scary. That's really scary, actually.
Yeah.
That's actually absolutely terrifying. Yeah, I could see somebody setting up a Cresselia and, like this, and just being able to stomp you.
Yeah.
because stored power is just, it's getting stored power stab, first of all. The key berry is going to give it a defense boost, and it's just going to call mind up and just smack you.
Yeah, just need to get rid of dark types and go to town.
Mm-hmm. get rid of an Urshifu, probably somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. So next up is Nihilego with a power herb and a very specific stat spread. I don't know why they decided 252 speed was necessary on a base 113 speed Pokemon, but they did. So 4 HP, 76 defense, 172 special attack, 4 special defense, and 252 speed. I'm sure the 76 defense is to survive something specific. But with the power herb, you've also got Meteor Beam, so you get a free +1 to your special attack from the Meteor Beam. You also have Acid Spray, Thunderbolt, and Sludge Wave for coverage, which isn't bad, actually. Nihilego is very fun.
Yeah.
Now, like, Meteor Beam made a lot of Pokemon fun.
Fun is a good word.
It made a lot of them fun.
Hmm.
I'm always a big fan to see power being used for not Xerneas as well. So I'm really into that. All right, Yushiro, take us home with the last two members of this team that I think are probably the most straightforward of them all.
Yes, we got already mentioned here Urshifu with a Choice Scarf, which is a known quantity. We've known a Choice Scarf for a while with the ability Unseen Fist. Now, help me out. Is this the dark or the water?
This is the dark one because he has Wicked Blow. This is dark.
Wicked Blow, right. That's what I figured. Level 50, I only have the water one.
In Showdown Script, Rapid Strike is its own thing, but regular Urshifu is just the dark Urshifu because the dark one's just better.
Oh, yeah. Wish I would have known that.
Yeah.
Before I chose him. Anyway, this one will have its EV spread of 252 attack, 4 defense, and 252 speed. With an adamant nature to make sure you're hitting harder, you have Dimension Wicked Blow, Thunder Punch for that type coverage. You got the close combat for more for the fighting stab, and the U-turn in case you got a run away out of that scarf.
Yeah.
That is followed by an oldie but goodie Zapdos, and not the ostrich looking one, not the Dodrio looking one, but the regular Zapdos.
The regular one's better, so.
And his with Rocky Helmet, his ability, the static, which really not important, but its EVs are spread as 252 HP with 252 defense and 4 on special defense. This is not supposed to be a speedy Zapdos. With its bold nature alongside with its 4 attacks, Discharge, U-turn, Hurricane, and Roosts.
Yeah. This is pretty typical bulky Zapdos. So this team, when you run it, you typically just want to, you're pretty much going to lead Urshifu, bring Cresselia and Celesteela in the back. That's your plan. Okay. Unless you see an electric type, then you probably bring Lando. Nihilego helps you deal with a couple of threats. Zapdos helps you deal with a couple of bulkier steel types. But Celesteela going big is pretty much your win con, and that's kind of just what you want to do all the time. This looks really fun, and I think I'm going to play it with it later.
Nice.
I think just having Celesteela go ham sounds like a lot of fun.
I really need to get more beasts on.
So doing battles, Jushiro, is actually super easy now because you can just grab the rental team, which we have for this team, and it'll be up on the Discord later. So you can just grab the rental team and go try it out. You can also watch Claude and P. McGee use the team on YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. So with that in mind, we are going to kick it on over here, guys, and we're going to move on to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your email.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send in a listener email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we might read it on the show. This week we got, I think, like 12, 13 emails. So unfortunately, they're not all going to be on the show. We are going to try to get them on the website or do something with it. I really need to do like the extended mailbags.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. I'm very excited for it. But as always, this segment is brought to you by the energy drink Green Toro. It's the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hoofuses.
And as always, we will give out the Green Taurus badge to anybody who does really, really well and sparks some discussion. So last week we asked you guys what Pokemon you wanted to be good in competitive that wasn't. So let's get going. Our first email is going to be from Tia. Hi, Puckle Podcast hosting Pucklers. It's Tia again with a faster email. I listened to this podcast at work and watched the latest episode while catching up on the older ones. This has been one of the topics that I'm most passionate about in the Pokemon world. Why must some really cool and unique Pokemon never be seen? It makes me sad. Imagine a world where Frostmoth was the ice counterpart to Volcarona.
That would be cool.
On my drive back, I imagined how awesome it would be if something like Ice Key was actually good. I had a few Pokemon, but narrowed it down to three. Inteleon, Ampharos, and Ice Key. Inteleon is the only Gen 8 starter not know you, and I actually brought up a unique ability for it. Opportunist. This Pokemon's moves gain priority against an opponent's Pokemon with less than 40% max HP. Originally, this was 50, but people in the Smogon channel said it would be too broken, so I lowered it to 40. I like this because Tia did research.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that discussion happening. That was a really cool discussion.
Oh, were you there? Were you there for that?
I was there a little bit. I was doing it during work when people weren't around. I was talking a little.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I think 33% is probably the number, but 40 works. 33% is what, if Pokemon were to implement it, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
Just like Overgrow and stuff like that. This would give Inteleon a nice niche in teams as a revenge killer or a cleanup sweeper. For Ampharos, it has such an amazing design, and its stats for a bulky special attacker, which is not suitable for an electric type. No, it's not.
Nope.
Not to mention, in Mega, it has a fab haircut. Zeus is partying on Ampharos' swag.
Fabio Pokemon.
I'd reconsider Ampharos' dragon typing, but also readjust its stats to have at least 70 speed and a base 90 speed in Mega. Oof. Mm. Also, give it a new ability for Mega instead of Mold Breaker. I absolutely agree. Give it, like, Transistor or something cool.
That would be cool.
Maybe something like Filter, so its bulk actually means something. I think you could definitely do that. They've retconned abilities in the past, right? So if /when we ever get Megas back, I'm going to be hopeful
please, Megas will come back. Yeah.
I think they should retcon some of the abilities. I think some of the Mega abilities that they got weren't thought through, and it was just like, this Pokemon got a Mega because it'd be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be really nice to give Ampharos something useful. Maybe something like Filter, so its bulk actually means something. That's true. Filter would be good. I think the speed might be a little too much, personally.
Mm.
I also think with OU being not the main meta anymore, it's opened my eyes to what's possible.
Yeah.
I think Ampharos Mega in VGC or even in BSS could potentially end up being productive on a VGC team or on a Trick Room team.
I could see that, yeah.
On a Trick Room team. I think it absolutely could. Finally, I'd like to take a look at the Cube Penguin Ice Q. On the topic of Ice Q, Deflated Head Ice Q doesn't look cute anymore. Just give me some help. That's all. I love listening to this. Ice Q's actually not bad.
Really?
It's not terrible. If you can put it in BSS on a team where you know it's going to get hit by a physical attack to pop the Ice Cube, which will double its speed, essentially with Unburden, and you belly drum that first turn as well, Ice Q is having a field day.
Yeah.
Ice Q's having a field day. Ice Q is one of those cute Pokemon that, like, it can work. I don't know. I don't want to say every Pokemon should be, like, Lando tier good.
Right. No, yeah.
I think every Pokemon should be on meme tier good. Like, you can at least meme with it. And yeah. Ice Q's one.
Ice Q does its one thing well.
Yeah, that's all I want. I want every Pokemon to have one thing.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And some Pokemon don't have that one thing. Like Dunsparce. Yeah. What's Dunsparce's thing?
Paraflinch.
Yeah, but that's Togekiss's thing.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Thank you for that. Our next one's going to be from Oracle Above. And I believe Yushiro has this.
Yes, it says, "Hello, Puckle. This is Oracle Above on Discord. This time I'll make sure to be less confusing on the name. I have a few Pokemon I think deserve some improvements. All of these Pokemon seems like they should be good, but have some major flaws that makes them less usable than one would initially expect. I try to focus on my changes on move pools and move mechanics. Firstly, Inteleon. Inteleon is very much a letdown in its move pool and the synergy with its ability. It will be improved by both access to freeze dry and a change to in snipe shot having an 100% critical hit ratio rather than the 12.5. This allows Inteleon to hit bulky waters it otherwise cannot, and provides access to a stab nuke as Snipeshot now always uses Sniper. Access to Frost Breath to abuse Sniper would also be great. This would provide the base power of 135 compared to Ice Beam's 90. Up to the any opinions?
I'm actually a fan of that. I'm not cool. I'm not against this. I will stay straight up. I am not against this.
Yeah, fix the base power of Snipeshot to be like freeze frost breath, and yeah, I'm
yeah.
Down
if you
with
made Snipeshot just a water type frost breath, I think it'd be better.
Yeah,
but yeah, give it something that it can really use to abuse Sniper. I think this is a really good way to fix Inteleon though.
Cool. Then we have with these changes, I could definitely see Inteleon succeeding in UU and RU. Or having a niche in OU, although Greninja would likely still outclass it when it comes to the meta.
Let's say if it returns to the meta.
If it returns to the meta. Next, Porygon Z. Porygon Z lacks any definitive set that isn't outclassed. It lacks both a useful typing and the ability to boost both speed and special attack with one move slot. Porygon Z would be improved by a similar move in Clangor's Soul. Say that three times in a row, please, Seth.
Yeah.
Conversion could become a +1 Omni Boost to every stat, and Conversion 2 could be a copy of Shell Smash. This would allow two different useful sets that would give versatility between gaining both power, bulk, versus gaining just power.
Whoa. I'll finish his statement on Porygon Z, and then I'll interview.
Will do. I could see this being a niche in OU, but not a major threat. As before, a boost Porygon Z still requires a lot of team support to get in the field and safely boost. Either way, Porygon Z would probably end up being one of the most viable special attacking Shell Smash users, which would provide in a place of hyper offense.
So Porygon Z kind of already does that?
Did that, past tense.
Well, it did that. That's true. But I mean, it used to be just like a nasty plot and then boom.
It also, until we lost the crystals, it used to be a Z conversion Omni Boost sweeper.
Yes, it also did just used to do that on top of that. Now you just see it use that. Even in BSS and VGC, it saw some minor success, especially in Series 6 when all of the big scary things were gone.
Right.
It saw a lot of success because it's really hard to stop a turn 1 big Porygon Z that's just clicking Max Strike based on Hyper Beam.
Yeah.
It's really hard to stop that. Just throwing it out there.
I know a Nasty Plot Adaptability Hyper Beam can one-shot a Blissey. I remember that from Gen 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to be careful. Porygon Z is already scary. I don't know that I would say it's a Pokemon that needs to be better.
Yeah.
But that's just me. We can agree to disagree. I mean, it would be cool to give it Clangor Assault type thing to more Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'd be into something like that.
Do you think we will ever see like a regional Porygon? I feel like that's something that should have happened already.
Yeah, we got a Sinnoh regional Porygon.
Porygon Z. I don't know that I want to see more regionals of Gen 1 Pokemon.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm over it. I'm done.
Give me more Zigzagoon.
We have two Meowth.
No, three.
Do they just have a guy sitting in a back room who's just like, yeah, Meowth needs a regional. Well, we just did that, Bob. But we should do it again.
But Viking boy.
But Viking. But Viking Meowth. I had this for the last time. Can we use it again?
You guys didn't like my work last one.
He's just been bringing it up for the past 7 years. Like, the same Meowth regional.
Until they finally, like, find John. Put it on the Pokedex.
All right, next one. Finish it up. Yeah.
Lastly, Electivire. I must put a disclaimer that I profusely apologize to Thatch if he dislikes these changes. Electivire lacks high base power moves, speed, and boosting options. If Electivire get access to plasma bits and close combat, it will have both a reliable stab and a powerful coverage move. Also, access to either bulk up or agility could give it dimension in what it would be able to do. In its current best boosting option is Meditate. If Electivire can get access to Meditate, it can get access to Bulk Up and Agility. It would still be a poor man's Serora, but it would likely have a place in either RU or NU. Thanks for the reading, and have a lovely day, Oracle above.
Electivire should get Plasma Fists.
It should. And Close Combat, please.
Yeah, what? Okay, so Lycanroc gets Close Combat this gen? What's up with that?
Right.
By the way. So if Lycanroc can get Close Combat, Electivire can get Close Combat. Electivire can get Plasma Fist, and then Electivire can pretend to be good.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Electivire's got good coverage. Like, Electivire has some of the best coverage in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the speed to take advantage of it?
Yeah, so the problem is he's get base 80 speed, if I'm not mistaken.
And I mean, that's not that bad, right?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
And it's not bad, but it's not like OU good.
Okay.
It's
95.
But 95 would be it's base 95?
That's what it is. Yeah, 95.
Why isn't Electivire better?
That's what's going on.
It's held back. It doesn't do enough. It's only got 123 attack.
Yeah.
The moves have
Thunder
low
Punch.
Base power.
I think it's Wild Charge now.
Yeah.
But he gets Earthquake. He gets Ice Punch. He gets a lot of good things.
Yeah, he hits a lot of things super effective. And Flamethrower, too, if you want to just do that.
I think in Gen 4, it used to be he got he could hit 15 of the 17 types super effectively with one moveset.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I think that was Cross Chop, Earthquake.
Yeah, Cross Chop, Earthquake, Thunder Punch, Ice Punch would be the typical set. You could run a mix set with, Thunderbolt.
I think that was better because you could bop grasses, but I don't know.
Yeah, you could bop a few Pokemon here and there. It's fine. Whatever. He's a good Pokemon, and he should be respected. That's the answer. He should be respected. treated Electivire the way he should be treated. He's like my second favorite. As long as we get a sitting cutie plush of Electivire, I'm into it. I do want an Elekid sitting cutie too. Elekid's one of my Elekid's my favorite baby Pokemon.
Ugh.
By far. All right. Thank you for that, Oracle above. Our next email is going to be read by Seth, and it's going to be from Gliscor Gamer.
You bet. All right. Hello, Thatch, Seth, and Jushiro. Gliscor Gamer here. First and foremost, I want to thank you for the great podcast you have created. I recently stated Masuda Method Shiny Hunting started, pardon me, and Masuda Method Shiny Hunting, and listening to your podcast has helped turn a boring grind into a fun listening experience.
That's awesome.
I'm glad we can make your Pokemon better.
Yeah, I'm glad we could help with that grind. That's
what we are. We're an app for Pokemon, which is improve a little bit your time.
I also enjoyed filling out the Puckle survey, and I am excited for the shiny Genesect. Please fill out the Puckle survey so I can get my shiny, please.
Well, this guy is gunning for the Green Towers badge.
Yeah, he is.
He's doing our job for us. It's great.
This is great. Now, about Pokemon, I'd like to be better. Zacian could definitely use a power boost.
Mm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the joke, right? That's a joke. I hope it's
His next paragraph is, in all seriousness.
Oh, thank God.
That was good. In all seriousness, I think it would be awesome if Vikavolt were faster and could be an offensive powerhouse without Trick Room. I also wish Quillfish was in some way good. Same with Luxray. Sandslash is such a cool Pokemon, both of its forms, but Game Freak didn't do it justice. Donphan and Yanmega are also two that I wish were better, but they don't even exist in Sword and Shield yet, crossing my fingers.
Oh, that's so true, though. Donphan, I think, is like one of the saddest losses of Dexit.
Yeah, we can't use White Elephant gifts.
It's not even that. It's just Donphan. Donphan, I think, is like a really solid design. In general.
I agree with that. I always wanted the tire.
It's a cool design. Ever since Pokemon the first movie, I think Donphan's design has been solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing on, though, I really wish that Pokemon I love using in a playthrough were viable for competitive. Tyrantrum is my third favorite Pokemon, but it just isn't good in competitive battling.
Yeah, same here. It's my favorite fossil.
Mm-hmm. Not my favorite fossil, but I like the idea of it. It's sad that the Pokemon I love so much have to be so bad.
Isn't that usually the case for a Pokemon fan? Unless you like Mewtwo or something like that.
I think that's true, unless you like the things that are on the box.
Yeah.
Jolteon has always been my favorite, and after Gen 3, he's just gotten bad and bad and badder.
He got worse than Gen 8.
Still love him, though.
Continuing on, I understand it from a design and balancing point of view, but I really wish I could take the team I spent 50 hours with during my playthrough and just jump into a battle with them. Well, Gen 9 should make all Pokemon into pseudo-legends. Well, I hope you enjoyed reading about my opinion, and I hope all of you receive some snow this December. This is Gliscor Gamer signing off.
Well, we appreciate that.
We're still hoping.
All right. So, thank you for that. Do you guys think anybody here deserves the Green Taurus badge? I think these were all solid today.
They were, honestly.
I like the survey plug.
Survey plug was memorable. I thought we spent a lot of time on Tia's. Man, I like all three of these, though. I like all three.
They're well drafted.
You know what? I don't care what our contract says with Green Taurus. All three of them get the Green Taurus badge.
Are you giving a Christmas gift?
This is a Christmas gift, yeah.
Yeah.
All three of them. Oracle above. I think we already gave it to him, though. Tia and Gliscor Gamer, you get the Green Taurus badge. Just send us a message on the Discord and let us know.
You get a Green Taurus badge and you get a Green Taurus
Oprah
badge.
Yeah, I'm Oprah. I'm Oprah. Bo, I'm going to get an angry email from Bo.
We can't all have our favorite Pokemon, but we can at least have a Green Taurus badge.
If you want to email us next week at PuckoPodcast@gmail.com, feel free to email us about anything.
Yeah.
You can, of course, email us over. You can email us about everything. But our prompt is going to be, what Pokemon would you think would be useful to have around the house?
That would be
Let
fun.
Us know what and why. I am very this excited for that one.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm very excited for that.
There's so many we could have missed.
If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can go ahead and follow us over on social media, over at Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. You can, of course, come to our Discord server and just hang out with us all of the time. We'd really appreciate that. Get the Advent Calendar Pokemon that are being given away for the next, when this comes out, 10 days. You got 10 more days of Advent. So really go and check that out. We would really appreciate it. If you want to help support the show, you can also check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. Over at Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I finally picked up my schedule again. And we'll be back on Thursdays around 7:30, 8 p.m. Eastern, typically. I'll stream for a couple hours. We'll hang out. I want to
exactly
get into...
Exactly 7:38.
I'm getting way closer to the idea of just streaming Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky.
I don't see why not.
I'm getting really close to it. I'm really, really close to that idea. You can also go ahead and follow us. You can follow us there. If you want to support the show financially, you could do so by going over to Twitch and offering a Twitch Prime subscription. You can also go to TeePublic, which is in the show notes down below, get a t-shirt. We would really appreciate that. Or you can always go over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, get shiny Pokemon, access to BreederBot, stuff like that, all that jazz, access to a lot of our community events that first come, first serve. We typically do patrons first. And if we run out of slots, then it's just patrons. That's how that works, unfortunately. So with that said, we really appreciate you guys for listening. And I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I'm Jashiro.
And I am Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.